in the fabled land of Northern California. Nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And today, we're going to be talking to you about a kind of riff on something we talked about not too long ago.
Okay. And, you mean in the time frame that we're actually recording the episode, not necessarily when the episode comes out?
No, even when the episode comes out, I'm talking about something we talked about similar to something we talked about a few episodes past.
Oh, okay. Okay. So this is a relation to a throwback.
Yes, to a previous episode to some extent.
All right.
And here's the thing. We talk about many things on the podcast. Occasionally talk about football, because it's important to me, so I mention it. We talk about movies, we talk about music, because all these things are very important. Interestingly, we have not done a go over of the Blacklist album, which I think is at some point we need to do, go over the Blacklist album and all of the covers that were done.
Oh, okay. I've heard some stuff that's really interesting, actually.
For anybody that doesn't know, we're talking about the reissue of the Metallica's Black album.
Yeah.
And the Blacklist album that was released along with it, which is a bunch of covers of every song on the Black album.
Yeah.
There's some of them that are interesting. I actually do like Miley Cyrus's version of Nothing Else Matters, but that is like one of my favorite songs ever. I like the video that we saw. I believe you may have sent it to me, and then
I sent it to
you. Sent it to me, and then Announcer Scott sent it to me.
Oh, that's
or
great.
I sent it to Announcer Scott.
I think I one sent it two. To Scott, and then
so
I,
Scott probably sent it to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I sent
too.
It to both of you guys. He was just like, holy smokes.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that the three of us definitely share the great love of, and we were lucky enough, all three of us, to get to go to a concert with them together, and my wife was there too, which was awesome. It was the best concert because they're better. But anyway, in the little personal joke there, the video we're talking about, of course, is Elton John talking about, because he was on the Blacklist album. He was he did the part of the song of Nothing Else Matters with Miley Cyrus and many other artists that were involved in just that one song. Mm-hmm. He plays the piano on it, and I like Miley's version. I'm a fan of Miley's anyway. Wrecking Ball is an amazing song. The video is nice too, because you know, half naked girl's always cool. But the song is actually, if you actually break down the song, it's a really, really good song.
Oh, it's very well written. Honestly, like Miley Cyrus is, when you're I have a soft spot for pop artists in general. Like, I know I grew up on metal and all that kind of stuff, but dude, nothing beats good songwriting. Nothing beats like somebody who can perform with their entire fucking heart and soul. And to be completely honest, I know there's a lot of people that are going to give me shit for saying something like this. Miley Cyrus is hands down one of those people. You literally look at her background and her upbringing, her father is the one person that learned exactly what not to do in pop and country music, and then took all of that life lesson and just poured everything he could into capabilities, and that's why she's a fucking just giant right now.
Let's add to it the fact that she has the best godmother in all of existence. Okay, let's add that.
Who, Dolly?
You know her? Yes.
That's her godmother?
Dolly Parton is her godmother. So she has the best godmother in all of existence, because Dolly Parton is like greatest Americans ever, in my opinion. Jimmy Carter probably near the top of that list. Dolly Parton got to be near the top of that list too. I mean, just you fight me if you say anything bad about Dolly Parton.
Oh yeah, 100%. Dolly,
that's one of those most celebrities.
Dolly's a treasure, dude. Yeah,
most celebrities I'd be pretty cool around. I think the only time I'm being, even meeting Metallica, I'd be cool around Metallica. As much as I love Metallica, I'd be cool. The only celebrities I can see myself totally geeking out meeting, like hardcore geeking out, would have to be Mark Hamill, just because he's Mark Hamill.
Oh, yeah.
And not just for Luke Skywalker, but for everything else that he's done. That would be like a geek out moment. And Dolly Parton would be another one. And
I can understand that.
I grew up a huge fan of Dolly Parton's. My one of my favorite movies that I still can't watch to this day is Dolly Parton's probably best movie that she ever did. Movie, by the way, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. If you ever want to see if Burt Reynolds can sing, yes, he can. Watch Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
That's great.
And I mean, Dom DeLuise singing and dancing. Who doesn't want to see that?
Oh, yeah.
But great movie. People go watch it.
Yeah.
I can't, so you have to watch it for me. It causes too much emotions for me to watch it.
I understand that. Okay.
And her version of I Will Always Love You is still better than Whitney Houston's, even though when she's asked about it, when Dolly's asked about it, she gives all the credit to what Whitney did and how amazing it is. And she's just happy that somebody else was able to take that song and do something with it. Truly humble about it. No, nothing like that's my song and whatnot. She's just like, I'm so happy she did great with it. It's fantastic. Admittedly, she's also happy because all the money she made from it, because she wrote that damn song. But still, she no animosity whatsoever towards Whitney Houston for doing it. Nothing but praise for her version of doing it. And Miley's version of Jolene, fantastic. Fantastic.
You've
seen the Backyard Sessions of Jolene. Fantastic. Yeah.
There isn't a cover that Miley has done that I don't like yet. And she has done, I think one of my, she did an absolutely incredible cover of Doll Parts, by Hole. You got to see that she did it on Howard Stern. It is incredible. And what's crazy is it was literally the first time she had done the performance live with a band. She goes, I heard this song not that long ago. I've learned it. I know what the lyrics are pretty much. And I haven't like fully, you know, immersed myself into the original version or something, but I know what the song is. And show knowing that she's basically flying by the seat of her pants on it. And just knowing what the melody is and then knowing how the song works, it is fucking incredible. It's one of the, it's so good. Incredible live song.
I'll have to look it up. Yeah. But anyway, this video that Mike sent back to the video, is Elton John talking to Metallica and talking to Howard Stern about, the importance of the song and why Elton John wanted to be on it. And basically he flat out says it's one of the best songs. Elton John says this is one of the best songs ever written. And the look on James Hetfield's face at that moment, he's just like, and that's the best thing he's ever heard in his entire life. He starts tearing up. Lars Ulrich next to him just kind of puts his hand on him like, it's all right, dude. It's all right. And Lars even says, I can feel him next to me. Just like that's an amazing moment for him. And I agree with Elton John. This is why I chose that song to be at my wedding reception, is the song that my wife and I first danced to with a bunch of people that didn't understand it. That song is one of the best songs ever written. Hands down, amazing song. So we haven't talked about that yet, which I think is necessary for us to talk about the Blacklist at some point. So keep that in mind, people listening today. We will be talking about the Blacklist at some point. But that's not what we're here for today. Even though I just spent like 6 minutes on that, we're not here for that today. We're here to talk about another thing that we talk about all the time on this show, and that's food. We always talk about food. Right?
Yes. Sorry.
What?
I am tickled at the transition. Took like almost 10 minutes, and we've been talking about Metallica for nearly 10 minutes, and then you're just like,
last episode we talked about football for 10 minutes and then we got into the Harry Potter thing. It's just what happens. Well, because these are the things that drive us, man. These are the things that drive us. Metallica drives us, food drives us. You know, movies, music, these things, all these things drive us and are a part of us. I mean, I can report, I still have Spam almost every day for breakfast. I didn't this morning. I had a leftover hamburger this morning because, remember, I think I had told you that I had introduced my son to, Five Guys, the previous day.
Yes.
My son got introduced to Five Guys, loves their French fries. I made it a point to buy myself not only one hamburger for that day, but another one for today so that I could reheat it this morning, put a fried egg and some bacon on it. That's what I had for breakfast this morning because that's two things. Why get one hamburger when you can get two? But anyway,
you're making me hungry, man. I'm gonna be making, I haven't even had breakfast yet. I'm just sitting here sipping on coffee for these couple of podcasts, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to make me some breakfast this morning. It's worth it.
I wake up early so that I can get my breakfast in.
This is going to be one of those midday big breakfast kind of stuff. I'm doing the whole thing. I have Spam. I have eggs.
Yes.
We've got some tortillas. Yes. I might make some tacos or something out of it.
Yes.
Yeah, dude, it's on. It's on this morning. It's on this morning or afternoon, whenever I actually get to it, but it will happen.
My next thing is to make a pizza and put some Spam on it, but that's for a later day.
That sounds like a wonderful idea.
It is a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I've never had Spam on pizza, but that sounds like a great idea.
It would work.
Yeah,
it would work
100%.
But anyway, we talk about these things. We had what I'm referring to, though. The thing I'm mainly referring to is the recent chip conversations that we had for the various flavors of chips, and how Frito-Lay was really doing a smart thing by taking established flavors, moving them to other chips, other style of chip, and really being able to give a whole new experience and a good experience for the consumption of your favorite snack foods. Well, in the last podcast, we had alluded to, we had talked a little bit about parent companies owning different brands of things. The discussion had come up about Reese's peanut butter cups and their wonderful shapes for every season. Again, I officially making Reese's Peanut Butter Cup the candy of all seasons, because they are just really smart about how they form and build those things. And really a formable candy, if you really think about it, with the peanut butter and in it the way that it is, you can form that into any mold you want, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It works very, very well to do those different shapes.
Yeah.
And what Mike was asking was what the parent company was that owned that.
Yes.
Whether it was Hershey, whether it was Mars. And this is an important thing, because parent companies are something that people don't realize that they own multiple things. For instance, Mike, when you go to, and I'm going to throw out some names here again,
okay.
We're not paid for any advertising. We'd be more than glad to be paid for advertising, but we're not. When you go to McDonald's to eat.
Yes.
When you get a drink from McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
what's the drink that you get? Or what's a drink you can get? What's the main soda product at McDonald's?
That would be Coke, I believe.
Yes, Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola is the main product.
Because
the main
beverage company,
yeah, parent company.
They have a specific contract with Coca-Cola for that.
Yes.
Burger King, what do you get?
Does Burger King do Coke or Pepsi?
Burger King is Coca-Cola as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I think now, yeah, I had some KFC yesterday, and KFC is Pepsi.
Ah, no.
And A&W.
There you go. There you go. You got into where I was headed with this.
Oh.
Most restaurants have a contract with Coca-Cola. I do remember a small family owned restaurant once many years ago up in kind of the hills where I grew up, that they had started up their own restaurant, did their own thing, and they actually ended up getting a weird contract for their soda. They got RC Cola to give them a contract for their soda dispensing.
I remembered,
which was almost unheard of.
Yeah, you know what?
Even then,
I was kind of okay. So I don't know if it was the fact that it was just different. I personally don't understand why there were so many. I remember back in the day why there were so. I don't understand why so many people ripped on RC Cola. I don't think it's a bad cola at all.
I love RC Cola.
RC Cola is good, and it has got a real bad name, and I don't know why.
Part of that has to do with branding. See, the Cola Wars, especially. People are very, very polarized on their soda consumption. People are either Coke people or they're Pepsi people. And it's one of those things that's like, it's more polarizing than which whiskey you drink. Seriously. People flat out refuse to drink Pepsi or flat out refuse to drink Coke. Interestingly enough, the popularity, we've stated this before, but it is interesting to note that the popularity per state of Coke over Pepsi. And Coke is, their primary color is red. Pepsi's primary color is blue. It actually coincides with the political affiliation of that state. So if the state is a red state, i.e. a Republican state, Coca-Cola is the most popular soft drink in that state. If a state is a blue state, Pepsi is the most popular soft drink. There is no reason why this happens.
What the hell? Other
than maybe there's a color association that people subconsciously have. Pepsi is not a Democratic soda.
Yeah.
And I don't think either one
of those companies. Yeah. I don't think either one of those companies make major. Yeah. They don't. I don't see them ever making any major political statements. That's crazy.
Although you can say that Coke builds on nostalgia, Pepsi builds on the next generation, the future, and those are kind of liberal and,
okay, I can and conservative that.
Things. So maybe that makes a little sense with it, but it is just a funny little bit of information. I will go on record as saying if I'm making a mixed drink with alcohol, you know, alcohol in it, it is Coke all the way. The flavor of Coke with alcohol, much better. If I'm drinking it by itself, I will drink Coke, but I prefer Pepsi.
I can understand that. Yeah, Pepsi as a mixer has never really worked for me personally.
It's too sweet. It's too sweet to do as a mixer. Coke has a little bit more of a spicy flavor.
I don't know why it just hit me. But one of the sorry. I don't know why it just hit me, but if I remember correctly, one of the slogans for Coca-Cola back in the 80s when we were kids was "Can't beat the real thing," right? Isn't that Coke?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which is fucking hilarious because in the 80s, the real thing would have been cocaine in the soda. They didn't have cocaine in the soda in the 80s.
Yeah, that would have been very apropos for the 80s.
Yeah, apparently you can't beat the real thing, but they can't either, so they'll just talk about it.
And actually, I think that was a comeback from the from when they tried New Coke, and they went and New Coke bombed.
Yeah, that's right. They tried to change the formula and it didn't work.
Yeah, they went back to the old formula of Coke. And funny enough, New Coke tasted more like Pepsi. But they went back to the old formula of Coke. And
because Pepsi was their major competitor, so they tried to come up with something to kind of take that, and it just bombed on them.
Pepsi, by the way, owned at one point a Navy. Interesting little side note as well.
Oh, man,
they got surplus Russian naval ships as part of a contract with Russia to start funneling Pepsi into Russia.
Jesus.
Russia didn't have the money, so they gave them ships.
Holy shit. Pepsi, wait, did you mention this on a previous podcast, maybe a year or two ago?
I have mentioned this before on another podcast.
Okay. Yeah,
the Pepsi did get a small Navy from Russia.
Sorry, it's such an outlandish story that you like, you don't remember that you had the conversation, but you also don't forget that that happened.
Yes. It's like, I know I've heard this before.
Yeah.
And I'm so good at spewing out a bunch of useless facts at different points in time. It's like, I know I've heard this. James probably said it once or twice before. And my response is, yeah, I probably did. I say this crap all the time.
Yep.
Because like it's like you get moments of like, for instance, last week I was watching movies with somebody. And of course, one of the movies we ended up watching was Rambo 3. And at the end of Rambo 3, it still has the dedication to the gallant Afghan people. And I was just like, and the person said, oh, that's nice that it's dedicated to the gallant Afghan people. I'm like, do you want to know the truth about that? And it became a whole big, huge conversation that I do. But it's one of those things that these things happen in my life all the time. Moments happen where people are like, whoa, that's interesting. I'm like, do you want to hear the true story about that? And then I say them so often that I forget who I've said them to, because hi, I'm James. I have useless facts. I feel like almost a C-3PO with useless information. You know, the odds of this are, you know, 350,000 to 1. Never tell me the odds. Anyway, but as far as soda goes, the two main sodas here in the U.S. are Pepsi. Coke is still number one. Pepsi is a solid number two. And I said it on purpose. And you have because I think Pepsi is the shit. Personally. But
oh my god,
I know, isn't that good?
Yeah.
And then you have the outliers like Dr. Pepper and A&W, which have contracts with A&W has contract with Pepsi, even though Pepsi makes its own root beer, which is let's get this one out of the way.
Wait a minute.
Of all the root beers, what?
Oh, what? You're right. Okay, hold on. I had to think of the root beer that it was. It's like the only other majorly popular root beer aside from A&W.
No, what are you talking about? I was actually getting to there. What's your favorite root beer?
Oh man.
Because there's three.
Well, my personal favorite is not your father's root beer, but I haven't had that in a long time.
for those of you who don't know, that's alcoholic root beer.
Yes.
And yes, that's good. That's
it's good stuff. As far as personal favorite, I am very torn between A&W and Barks.
Okay. I was wondering if you'd forgotten Barks.
I have absolutely not forgotten Barks.
There's A&W, there's Barks, and then there's Mug, which is Pepsi's.
Oh, Mug, that's right. Okay, I forgot about Mug.
Because Barks is Coke's offering of root beer. I will say that Barks is my favorite root beer, mainly because it has bite.
Yeah.
Old slogan there. And actually because it's the only one of those root beers that actually has caffeine. However, I appreciate having in my advanced age that I'm dealing with. I appreciate
age,
having
you old yes, fucker.
Yes, exactly. I appreciate having A&W, and I keep A&W in the house regularly, mainly because it is not caffeinated. And if I actually have this issue where I drank caffeine, large amounts of caffeine for such a long period of my life that I think it messed with my brain. I since reducing my caffeine intake to two cups of coffee really a day,
mm-hmm.
And two cups of coffee, maybe a single caffeinated soda. After about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I can't drink anything else that's caffeinated, or I have trouble getting to sleep.
That's the standard human condition. Yeah.
It didn't used to be that way. It used to be I could drink a 12 pack of Pepsi and go right to sleep after drinking the 12 pack of Pepsi. I mean literally a 12 pack of Pepsi.
There's a lot of things that we used to be able to do after abusing ourselves in our 20s and go right to sleep.
Our bodies are failing us. Luckily caffeine was the only way I abused myself. No drugs and very minimal alcohol.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, your tale with that later. that's a tale for a different podcast.
Yeah.
but anyway, do you need a bucket, Mike? Sorry. I love having
there's picture evidence of that, and I'm so ashamed of it. there is picture evidence of that. That is probably one of the funniest pictures I've ever seen of myself, and I'll just say it now. I hope, you know, I'm going to get into a little bit of dark territory, but I'm going to bring it around to a little bit more lightheartedness. So bear with. A relative of mine recently passed away young, and it was very, very tragic. I'm not going to get into the details about it. That's just personal information. But I was present in spirit for a funeral. His funeral was live streamed, and I'm going to love him to death. He was just an amazing person. And, but one of the things that they did was they ran a picture slideshow of him just as a kid. And he was a dad. He was a super, super beloved, just friend of everyone that was there. And it wasn't necessarily like, this wasn't necessarily packed, the memorial service, but, yeah, you could definitely tell how loved he was. And it was one of the most amazing things. And they did, you know, the whole picture slideshow thing with the music, and it ran for a really, yeah, really long time. And I'm looking at this picture slideshow, and I'm like, was there any point where they didn't take a picture of this guy? Because there were so many pictures. Yeah. There were pictures and videos and all this kind of stuff.
Well, as you're looking at it,
part of me is torn because I'm sitting there crying looking at this, and at the same time, a portion of it hits me, like my mind goes to an entirely other place, and I go, God, when this happens to me, I hope to God the picture of me, there is a picture that one of my closest friends, bandmate, has of me in his phone, and it is a profile picture for when I call him, this is the picture that shows up on his phone. And James is secretly laughing in the background right now.
I know who that is.
Yeah, you know, not only do you know who it is, but also the picture, and I'm just going to describe the picture.
It's a great picture.
It will never, like, I will never share this picture, but it was a night where me and announcer Scott, who was also a former bandmate of mine, and this other bandmate of mine, all show.
Are we allowed to say that bandmate's name?
No, because I don't want people hitting him up.
For the picture?
No, yeah, I don't want people hitting him up for the picture.
Everybody who would know him.
It's honestly not really a picture that I'm particularly ashamed of. I just hope that it doesn't show up in my slideshow at my funeral. But
I'd be more worried about some of the video that I have showing up in the slideshow of your
fuck phone. You but
whatever
fuck you. But this picture is probably one of the funniest pictures I've ever seen of me. It is, I got really drunk at a bar. I'm sitting at the bar.
Hold on. I do want to add something here. I just want to add some. I know this will come up in the story, but I want to add for people to understand that even though Mike was drunk and had those times, he was fairly drunk responsibly. Fairly.
Because
the bar was not far from his house.
This is true. Part of the story, I thought you were going to say something like the bar wasn't necessarily set that high. Different bar.
I'm just saying the bar wasn't that far from his house.
I was in a rock band and I drank in my 20s, just like, you know, any other musician in their 20s, right?
Exactly. So, but I'm just saying that getting home
was not hard.
He did not put anyone else at danger.
No, absolutely not. And I would never I wouldn't have put myself behind the wheel of a car at any point. Yes. Like, I wasn't dumb.
There was no point he got behind. He did not need.
And I knew people that did that. And I knew people that did that. And I was surprised that they made it home safe. For the most part, especially reaching the age of the Xennials at this point, reaching that age, probably know someone that ended up in a tragic accident based upon that status. So I made a valiant, concerted effort to never put myself in a situation where I would be in control of a motor vehicle in any inebriated state ever. I hated the concept of it in general. I never did it, but that's why
when we would come over to that house to party, one of the two of us would be drinking heavy and the other one would have a drink or two, and
you would chill. There wasn't exactly a DD so much as there was somebody who was always I hate this, we are sharing really bad habits here.
It was usually you in your
you know, early 20s, you know.
No, it was usually me that was the one that was not doing the drinking when we come over, and I would limit myself to literally two beers over like a 5-6 hour span and that's where my limit would be. I'd be done at two beers and that's it. If I was there with my wife, she'd be the one doing the drinking. The one night that I really drank heavily at your house was with this other bandmate that we're speaking of, and I don't remember all of that. But when we decided that was what was going to happen that night, when the decision was made that was what was going to happen, my wife stopped doing any drinking so she could be the one to drive us home for the night. And it's a good thing because I don't come.
So
I remember I was at your place and then I was home, but I don't.
You don't remember what happened in between? Yeah.
Yes, I do not.
That happens every once in a while to kind of anybody.
But that was a specific choice on that night to get to that I admittedly didn't know how far it was going to go, but I knew that that was the possibility, so I accepted that was going to happen that night.
Yeah.
And it was a single decision for a night. I did not get swept away or carried away. I chose to do what I did that night. And made sure I had stuff in play to
there was keep us safe. Yeah, anyway. there was a plan in effect to make sure that you were able to relax and enjoy yourself to the degree that you wanted to, and proper responsibilities were taken.
I don't know if I was completely relaxed. I was pretty much on edge because I didn't know exactly how far it would lead and how long I could keep up. I was just there to try to keep up and support a friend who was dealing with some stuff.
Yeah.
And so I did not on any regular basis that I do not keep up with that dude, or I could not keep up with that dude.
Yeah, no, so, yeah. No, yeah. That gentleman now, by the way, is completely, he's completely sober and has been sober for years,
which is fantastic.
Yes.
And I'm very glad for him.
I'm proud of him too.
Back in the day, he could put it down.
Yeah. But, he was a champion, sir. But anyway, going back to this picture. So, I was out at a bar with, this gentleman and my other bandmate as well. And when you drink too much, things happen. Like, you throw up. Well, I was not able to make it to the bathroom to do so because I was unfortunately so far gone that that was just not going to happen. And so I almost threw up at the bar there. And it was, I remember, like, we basically closed the bar down and it was almost, it was like nobody else. I don't remember anybody else being there, but at the same time, I don't remember a lot that happened at all. So who knows? Oh, yeah. But I do remember that when I needed to throw up, a bucket magically appeared in front of me. And there is a picture evidence of this, and it is both my roommate and my other bandmate and the bartender taking a selfie, giving a thumbs up with my face shoved into a bucket sitting at this bar. And it is one of the most priceless pictures I think I've ever seen taken of me.
Now, you got to take the bucket home, right?
No, I didn't take the bucket home.
Oh, okay.
No, because it was the bar's bucket. Like, it was the mop bucket, but it was just like, I don't think a mop was sitting in it. It was a clean bucket. And it was, dude, the swiftest reaction. It was funny because when they recall, they're like, dude, he was on, the bartender that night was absolutely on it and had, he was having fun. He was having a great time. Just
he was probably prepared in advance.
Oh, he was. He knew what was going to happen.
And again, I'll give it away. This bar was literally across the street from his place.
Yeah, and it's not so, like I remember.
I'm sure this bartender knew you. You were right. You were
Together
enough.
He knew.
So he probably saw the glassy look in the eyes that I have seen before. And that I know. Okay, it's time to get Mike prepped up because it's about to go down.
He probably
saw that look. He's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have Bucket on standby because normally at this point is when he's going home, and he's still here and doing more.
And he does not want to do a bunch of cleanup.
I'm keeping the Bucket on standby. And is this the night that you had a war back across the street?
Had I, sorry, you cut out. Was it the night that I, what now?
You had a wardrobe malfunction on the way back across
yes,
the street.
I believe that was the night. Yes.
Yes. Where your pants wouldn't stay on.
Yeah. My pants fell down while I was being carried back to my house practically by my friends. It was, I will tell you that it was not a regular occurrence. James talking about, you know, this happening.
This would happen every month or two, maybe 3 months when we'd go down and do stuff. So it's not like it was happening on a daily, nightly.
That really basis. Actually, like when you hear that time frame, that does not actually sound good.
It was something that was an overindulgence. It's in our youth, it caused various different repercussions throughout all of our lives. I know it caused repercussions in my life.
Yes,
and it was stuff that luckily we came out of it relatively unscathed. Nobody died. Nobody was severely injured. Some relationships dissipated. Some were created. Some were renewed. But we all came out of it in a fairly decent setup. And again, nothing overly bad. Really happened. Nothing like exceptionally tragic. And there were a few moments where tragic things could have happened and they didn't, and that's kind of nice. We can at least tell the stories and laugh a little and realize that stupid shit can be okay as long as people don't get hurt in the process of it.
Yeah,
it's, we can say at least that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's very important. I will chalk that down to extreme luck because it's not like you didn't hear about things like about horrible tragic events happening to people that you knew who were dangerous to themselves. Yeah.
You heard about a lot of them. Some of it's luck. Some of it was there were a few people that were a part of our social group that did a good job of keeping things from getting too far a lot of times.
Yeah.
Announcer Scott was one of those that helped.
Yes.
I think I helped a little bit from keeping things get too far in a few of the times I was there. Announcer Scott was way more involved in the stuff being as he, lived there for a while. He was way more involved than me. But there were a few people that that helped keep things from getting too far gone and still be able to have fun without people getting hurt, I think one of the few tragedies that we had was the loss of like a pill bug. That's about the most of it. Sorry, I had to throw that one in there. Anyway.
Damn it, anyway. Dude. How did we get into this conversation starting at Coke versus Pepsi?
Because that's how it always happens. It's the half hour lead up into the point.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're gonna take a break right now.
Okay.
When we come back, we're gonna talk about, because we were talking about a little bit about parent companies, and I'm gonna tell you how the connection with the chips is connected to this new discovery that I've had in the last week of new and different flavors. I'm gonna bring it all together.
Okay.
So we'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody.
All right.
I want you to think of rivers and just relaxing water moving sounds. Are we good?
Breathe deep.
Next. Huh?
Breathe deep.
No. Don't worry about the breathing. Just think of the water sounds.
The calming.
Waterfalls.
Okay. Yes.
You know, a little stream burbling.
Burbling?
Does that help you? Does that help you, Mike?
If I knew what burbling was.
It's the kind of sound that streams make.
Okay.
Go listen to a stream.
Okay. Yes.
That was for your benefit.
No, I'm there. Mentally, I'm there.
That was for your benefit, by the way.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll get the joke. anyway, at some moment it'll dawn on you and go, oh, damn it, James. unless it already
I'll listen to it, dude. It's not hitting me right now. I'm also still kind of half awake. Like, we're on our second podcast in the morning. I'm halfway through my second cup of coffee, and for some reason it hasn't hit. I haven't had a lot of sleep.
During our break, are you still recording during our break?
No.
Oh, okay. Then you might not get the joke.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
Moving on. Has to do with something you said over the break. Now think about it. So,
okay.
We were talking about flavors, right? And again, referencing we're talking about drinking. That's a whole different subject. We were talking about flavors and referencing back to the chip conversation, right? And I said I was going to tell you how it all connects together, and I will. Because it has to do with all of these things, the flavors, the parent companies. So in the chips conversation, do you remember which company is the parent company for those chips?
Oh, for the entire, for who we were talking about beforehand?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Frito-Lay.
Frito-Lay.
Yes.
Well, Frito-Lay is part of a bigger corporation. And you know who else
is
involved in that
up?
Corporation?
What? Yes.
Do you know who else is involved in that corporation?
Who?
PepsiCo.
Shut up.
That's right, people.
You bastards.
Frito-Lay and Pepsi are owned by the same company. They are basically the same company, which is why I maintained, even back when I was, 12, 13, and I was at Sunday school, and the youth pastor wanted me to come up with trivia questions as part of the Sunday school thing, and my trivia question was, what did Paul request from the people of Philippa? Philippi, whatever. In the book of Philippians, what did he request? And my three multiple choices were, A was aid, B was Cool Ranch Doritos, and C was Pepsi. he didn't like that. I mean, aid was obviously the answer,
right?
But he didn't like my question, the way I set my question up. But even back then, I knew the beauty of Cool Ranch Doritos and Pepsi together. I was, of course, a huge fan of, I alluded to this in the last podcast, Crystal Pepsi when it came out. And
for a couple of years
in August, they released Crystal Pepsi again, only in bottle form, like the 20-ounce bottles or whatever.
Nice.
Didn't matter. I bought as many of them as I possibly could and absolutely love them. I believe like so many things, I sent pictures of them to you whenever they were bought for me.
Yes.
Every weekend.
You went crazy like it was a McRib, man. Like,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I love the McRib too, but that's a different thing.
Is the McRib back already?
Except for where I live. The McDonald's
what?
Where I live, the McDonald's where I live are, they're all, what are those called? Franchises. And they're owned by the same guy or the same family. And they never bring their McRib back. They don't like bringing it back. And franchisees can choose to bring it back or not. So they don't like bringing it back. So,
oh, dude, whatever. How do you not participate in the McRib? You're losing out. I bet you they tried it, and people were just like, this sucks. We're not having it. And then they had McRib meat left over.
Yeah. They at least do the Shamrock Shakes, so I'm happy for that, because I got to get my Shamrock Shake on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love me a minty shake. But anyway.
How many of them have a broken McFlurry machine?
Oh, God, who knows?
All of them?
We're not even getting into that lawsuit.
I think there was somebody who was talking about, like, suing over the broken McFlurry machines or some stuff.
There's actually a huge lawsuit about the ice cream machines right now.
Yeah. I was hearing about that.
We're not getting into that right now.
Yes, no, we have something else we're talking about, damn it.
So just like Frito-Lay is trying to get into the various soda companies, not just Pepsi, the various soda companies have gotten into the flavor game recently. Now, when we were growing up, we only had... You know, we only had so many flavors. We had Coke, we had Pepsi. Coke had Sprite. 7-Up was its own entity. We had the A&W root beer. Mm-hmm. Eventually Barks came out, and then Pepsi did its mug. There was the Slice flavors for a while.
Slice.
Dr. Slice tried to come in there to cut into some of the Dr. Pepper market. Mr. Pibb tried to come in there to cut into some of the Dr. Pepper market. Pepsi was like, nah. We're going to stay out of that. Although now Pepsi has a deal with Dr. Pepper and 7-Up. Pepsi tried to get into the lemon lime soda market with their Sierra Mist. Absolute garbage.
Really? I always kind of like Sierra Mist.
Sierra Mist is nasty. If you're going to have lemon lime soda, get you some Sprite. Every store in existence has their own store brand, which, by the way, in case you're curious, on most blind taste tests, the store brand colas taste more like Coca-Cola than they do like Pepsi, but they still aren't as good in most of them. There are some exceptions, but store brand lemon lime soda usually is okay. That's if you're going to get a store brand soda, the lemon lime is about the safest one to get. The other ones just don't taste exactly right. They're okay, but they're not exactly right. You had your RC Cola, which was its own little, you know, separate brand, and RC Cola Cherry, which was awesome. You had one, and that was one of the first flavors they really started introducing in as kind of a real alternate flavor was when Coke came out with their Coke Cherry. It wasn't Cherry Coke at that time. It was Coke Cherry. Had a really cool little designed can for it, or even a really cool design. Remember the little glass bottles? The 12-ounce glass bottles, the short, squatty ones.
Yeah.
It had a cool design on it, and compared to the standard red Coke design, it was more like a maroon, almost magenta color. It was
almost
neat.
Burgundy. Yeah.
Burgundy. Yeah. But Cherry was the first one they got into that was an alternate flavor on top of the normal flavor.
And I'm a sucker for Cherry Coke. I love Cherry Coke.
Let's not discount, of course. Oh, you do. That's good to know. Let's not discount, of course, the fact that I haven't mentioned one soda flavor that's a stalwart soda flavor. It's actually more original of a soda flavor than anything else. That would be cream soda, which is typically something that that was something like your uncle or your dad drank. You didn't really drink that as much as a kid. Maybe you did personally. I know all my friends really didn't drink cream soda. And then, of course, let's not forget to mention Dr. Pepper, which has its own fans and adherents. You know that one kid that you remember that only drank Dr. Pepper. And usually, if they drink Dr. Pepper, that's all they drink is Dr. Pepper, because it's its own special thing.
My wife is that kid.
Well, that's actually not surprising.
Yeah, she is a Dr. Pepper fiend. If Dr. Pepper is the option, Dr. Pepper is what she's having. If we go anywhere and Dr. Pepper is on a fountain, she's getting the Dr. Pepper. She ain't getting the Coke. She ain't getting Pepsi or anything like that. Dr. Pepper is the one to go with.
Yeah.
And not Mr. Pibb either. Dr. Pepper, damn.
No, Mr. Pibb. Well, no, I agree with her on that. Mr. Pibb is a garbage attempt to try to be Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. And I grew up on Mr. Pibb, and I still don't like it. Like,
and Walmart's Dr. Thunder does not know.
Oh, hell no. There are so many Dr. Pepper ripoffs. It is ridiculous. I think it's like, you think Coca-Cola is the one that gets ripped off all the time?
No.
Hell no. There are 350,000 different knockoff flavors of Dr. Pepper. If you ever walk into a grocery store, you'll see the store brand and then a bunch of other ones. And you go to three stores, they're all terrible except Dr. Pepper.
They're all garbage.
Yeah.
But again, when we were kids, cherry was the big thing. Now keep in mind, back when sodas were originally being done, back in like our grandparents or even some of our parents, if we got older parents age, you could go to soda fountains and get the stuff mixed, which is where the cream soda was really popular with those generations, because that was a very common soda flavor at a soda fountain when sodas would be mixed, you know, straight up mixed with carbonated water and the different syrups.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. Not mass produced like we have them. Straight up mixed and made for you right then and there.
Yep.
And that's where the cream soda is definitely a throwback to that old style soda shop thing.
Yep.
And our generation at first, we got kind of robbed of the beauty of that. The generation before us got the soda shop. Soda shops were gone by the time we were
born. Yeah.
Completely gone. So we got robbed admittedly, we had your Coke taste the same every single time. Didn't matter whether Tommy made it or Jimmy made it or, you know, Mikey made it or whatever.
Yeah.
It always tasted the same because it was mass produced and it was everywhere. So we got the little leak of cherry and Coke. And then as we were teenagers, there's all the different slice flavors, which they tried to do every flavor imaginable and they were okay. You had some other outliers. Again, there's the bubblegum flavored soda, that blue one that's kind of bubblegum flavored. Pepsi decided to step into this market with their wild cherry Pepsi, which is its own unique flavor in comparison to cherry Coke.
Yeah, the two of them don't really compare with each other. They're just kind of like... You could feel like one or the other, but it's not like it's there. You can't compare them to each other. It doesn't work.
No, there's not an equivalency there.
Yeah.
There was the Pepsi Blue, which basically looked like Windex, which is why it's no longer around.
I've never seen that.
there was Big Red, which is kind of a bubblegummy flavored soda. I still love Big Red to this day. It's one of my favorite sodas to go snag.
Big Red, boy, it's been a very long time since I've had a Big Red. I forget what it tastes like.
They're fantastic. I love those things. It's been about 6 months since I've had one. I get one on a regular basis, semi-regular basis, whatever. But they started in trying to do the flavors. You had your Crystal Pepsi rollout, which was both good and bad, mixed reviews on that, and of course it disappeared.
I remember that was such a hit when it came out, though. Like everybody that could get their hands on a Crystal Pepsi was like, they were automatically the cool kid. Like Crystal Pepsi was a status symbol. It was fucking weird.
It was. And then as we got into adults, everything's kind of stayed pat until right in our early adult years. Coke and Pepsi both came out with one specific flavor. Coke did it first, then Pepsi did. And this started, I feel, the flavor revolution with sodas. A real flavor revolution for mass produced sodas that you could get.
Oh, really?
Because you could still go somewhere like I don't know if you remember going to Poncho's, the Mexican food place, when it was still around.
No, where was that located?
It was
a franchise?
That was in Yuba City, single location.
Oh yeah. I grew up down in like the Rancho Cordova Carmichael area. So I was, as a kid, no, I never
I,
went
I,
up
I was
there.
Saying as a young adult when you were made.
Man, and I love the hell out of trying new Mexican restaurants. I do not remember ever going to Poncho's.
It was shut down a long time ago.
Oh.
But that was one of those places where you could order a Coke and have a syrup put into it and add a little flavor to it. And my favorite at that time was adding a little bit of vanilla to Coke or Pepsi, specifically Pepsi.
Oh my goodness.
But typically you'd only find it with Coke. And the first company that came out with it was Coke with their vanilla Coke line. And I was happy because they were great because it was a vanilla Coke. My dad was happy because it was reminding him of soda shop style sodas.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then they made it even better because I am a Pepsi man on a normal basis. Again, Coke for mixed drinks, Pepsi normal.
Right.
My dad is a Pepsi man normal, but again, Coke for purposes, but Pepsi mainly. Although I think my dad wouldn't make a Jack and Coke because he wouldn't want to pollute his Jack Daniels with Coke. He'd just drink the Jack Daniels.
And you wouldn't make a Jack and Coke because you wouldn't want to pollute your Coke with Jack Daniels?
I wouldn't want to pollute the glass with Jack Daniels. poor glass have to suffer having Jack Daniels put in it. Yes, I have this conversation. The same conversation I have with my dad. So don't feel bad. I think you're both crazy. But anyway, they finally came out with, after the Vanilla Coke came out, they came out with Vanilla Pepsi, which was fortuitous, and it happened a little later than it, how do I want to phrase this? I'm glad it happened as late as it did, only because I used the concept of having to make Vanilla Pepsi at home with a bottle mm-hmm. of vanilla syrup and a Pepsi. I used that to my advantage one day, and I'm still reaping the benefits of one time asking my wife to make me a Vanilla Pepsi. Yes, I asked her to make me a Vanilla Pepsi one time. Normally, I wasn't the type of guy, never have been the type of guy, to ask my wife to make me something. So I threw her off guard by asking her to make me a Vanilla Pepsi one day. And she was a little bit miffed. She said, well, why can't you make it? Oh, honey, you make it better than I do. And so she went in to make a Vanilla Pepsi. And then I did something awesome. And now I regularly ask her to make me a Vanilla Pepsi and I'll make her smile. So I'm going to leave the rest of that up to people wondering what the hell happened. But
okay.
It's not dirty. It's not dirty, I'll say that. But it was a great moment. But anyway, Vanilla Pepsi came out and I was ecstatic. And bought as much Vanilla Pepsi as I could. I even have I had a hat at one point. It was a Vanilla Pepsi hat.
Wow.
I love Vanilla Pepsi that much. And then there was kind of a lull. Well, in the last few years, we've seen an increase in these flavor things. Flavors have come out of the freaking woodwork. You have Dr. Pepper stepping into the flavor market with its Dr. Pepper Cherry. Amazing, by the way.
Yeah, that's really good.
Dr. Pepper Cherry. Then more recently, Dr. Pepper Cream Soda.
Okay, I have been holding my tongue on Dr. Pepper Cream Soda this entire time because I wanted to let you take over the conversation for me because I knew you had a transition. Yeah. We got some of that stuff, and we are now on our second, 24-pack of it.
Just second? Whoa, that stuff is amazing!
It is. So incredible. Good. Absolutely incredible. That shit is so good. And when I say when we're on it, I mean we finished it a few days ago, and now we're going to have to go get another one.
Nice.
Yeah.
And Coke stepped into it a little. It got its cherry Coke. It did a few things. Pepsi, though. Pepsi, the partner company to Frito-Lay. It's been dabbling its toes in this flavor market for a while. It's released a bunch of different flavors at different points in time. I don't even remember all of them. I know recently they've released a mango flavor. They have a cherry flavor. They have the vanilla flavor. And one of the cool things that Pepsi is doing, and this is important to me right now, because, of course, I've talked on this before, how I have a couple of health problems that came about from my lifestyle, i.e. drinking all of the soda that I used to drink, like the massive, huge amounts that I shouldn't have. And I am a diabetic, so most of the time I try to get sodas that have limited sugar in them or no sugar in them.
Yeah.
Well, diet sodas, let's be honest, people, diet sodas taste like crap. They just do.
Most of the time they do. There is one that I dig. I'm going to wait for you to say yours.
Well, here's the thing. Both companies, both Coca-Cola, actually all the companies, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, 7-Up and A&W, which are all one company together, Pepsi, they all have come out with zero sugar drinks that are not diet drinks. They are the zero sugar versions. And I this is the way I describe this to people who ask about them, because I drink the zero sugar drinks almost exclusively.
Yep.
And when I describe it to people, this is what I say. Diet tastes like crap. The regular tastes like the regular, like you expect it. The zero sugar is somewhere in between the diet and the regular sugar. But if you had a scale of if diet was at zero and regular sugar was at 10, I'm not saying that zero sugar is at 5. It's, to me, it's more like at a 7, 7.5.
Yeah. So yeah. No, I can agree.
It's more towards the flavor of the original, but it is definitely not the flavor of the original, but it's also definitely not the ass disgustingness of the diet soda.
Yeah, I would say that's a good way of putting it. It's like a passing C grade. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It gets a C.
That's a good way to put it. It is doable in comparison, considering that I don't have to worry about drinking a soda and wondering what other sugar I cut out of my day to account for the massive amount of sugar that's in soda.
Yeah.
I can still have, and I usually only have about one soda a day on say like a day when we're having guests over, or we're having a big dinner or some kind of thing. I might have a second soda that night, and they're still the zero sugars for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's Pepsi, a lot of people that I know that people that are, I mean, non-soda drinkers, a lot of the time they'll go, soda is soda, sugar is sugar, just yeah. get out of it. And it's, but it's not. Like
it's and it's and there are a lot of people who are adamant that they're never going to change their soda. That's fine. I can just tell you, and I can tell you what I feel about it. Your own personal opinion about it is going to be your own opinion about how they taste. I'm not going to lie and say, oh yeah, it tastes just like the real thing. It does not, but it tastes good enough that I can deal with it.
Yeah,
and that's the biggest key. It's like people who eat Cheez-Its versus cheese nips. I'm sorry, Cheez Nips do not taste like Cheez-Its.
No, they don't.
Whales do not taste like goldfish. And I'm talking the crackers, not the actual fish themselves. although a whale is not a fish, it's a mammal, but whatever.
Maybe that's why they don't taste the same.
Maybe that's it. Although, yeah, I mean, chicken tastes different than fish, so whatever.
Yeah.
Although chicken's not a mammal either, so that doesn't count. Cow tastes different than fish. There we go.
That might be the episode title. I don't know yet.
Cow tastes different than fish.
Yeah.
There you go. But Pepsi's been in on this game fairly heavily. They've done very good about making zero sugar options. There is at least six different flavors of Mountain Dew out right now, and most of them have zero sugar options that you can try. They have different versions of Pepsi. Again, the mango Pepsi. They've had a blood orange at one point or another. Ooh. They had a different kind of a cherry flavor at one point or another. The blood orange was pretty good. The mango, which I do have in my fridge currently, is actually fantastic if you like mango.
I'm going to have to check that one out.
The mango is very good. They have the vanilla typically. They've even released a cherry vanilla, which both them and Coke have released cherry vanilla. Your Dr. Pepper cream soda that you love so much, there's a zero sugar version of that.
I believe that's the one that we actually picked up.
And it's fantastic.
Yes.
I have some of that in my fridge, and I've had that in my fridge nonstop for the last like 6 months. We always get another one of those, and we always make sure to have it because it is like the favorite in the household.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other day, my wife was doing some shopping. And she found a new Pepsi flavor.
Oh,
this
really?
One went under the radar. I did not see. Normally, I see when the new flavors are coming. Prep for these. Now, admittedly, these are not in zero sugar yet, or all their stuff comes in zero sugar. They don't worry about doing the diet. There's Diet Pepsi because for some reason there are people who like the flavor of Diet Pepsi, just like there are people who like the flavor of Diet Coke. I think it's people that have like had their tongue burned by acid or whatever. But sorry. They're the same people that like the flavor of avocado. But anyway, or maybe Jack Daniels.
Look, sir,
these are,
you don't just need to find things that I and my wife like and just rip on them because we like them.
No, it's not just because of that. It's just, these are the things the things I hate, but also know that you like, because it's not just things that you like. If it was just things that you like, I can't be ripping on things that I like too, but they're the things that I hate. So it's within character for me to remember.
I can't remember the first. Oh,
what?
We might as well. Like, I'm going to share this. I'm going to sideline the conversation for a second. So James keeps sending me pictures of his Crocs, and
every weekend,
yeah,
every weekend,
yes. So every weekend he sends me pictures of his Crocs, and I swear to God, he's going to do it every time he sends a new picture. So, and I can't fucking stand them. Like, so I've made it. I have personally made it a commitment that if he sends me a picture of his Crocs, I'm going to send him a picture of something he absolutely hates. And there's no rules to what I send him. So the first time he sent me like two pictures of Crocs, which by the way, I owe you another picture because you sent me two pictures of Crocs. I only sent you one back, which is great because you were ready to fucking kill me the first time.
Well, part of that, now hold on. Part of that ready to kill you. I was building that up on purpose because I was actually coming to your job to do some shopping, but also to visit. I was coming to your job on a mm-hmm. day that I thought you would be there. So I was building it up on purpose because I was expecting you to be like, what, dude, I just sent you the picture back. Why are you so mad about it? And do some kind of build up thing just to be like, no, I came to your job to come and get you. You'd be like, what? I'm here, man. And you walk out like, what's the problem? And you'd be able to laugh about it. I was building up that the faux conflict thing. Because, I mean, Really, there's been very few things that you've done in our friendship together that would really make me actually angry with you. So I have to build the faux anger occasionally with things. And especially when you can get me on something like that, when it's a humorous something.
Yeah.
I am totally good at laughing at myself on the at those moments. I love being able, if somebody can get me in a funny moment like that, like my wife's grandfather one time, my wife and her grandmother were talking about the women's exercise place Curves.
Okay.
It was a women's exercise place that had existed for a while. It was supposed to be a safe space for women to go exercise without having any men around to give any judgments on their body or make them feel uncomfortable while they were trying to exercise.
Right.
They were talking about it, and they said, I think my wife said something about me needing a place to go exercise like Curves. And you know, at that time, even still, I had a decent amount of weight on my body. And her grandfather pops off with, I think he doesn't need to worry. He's got enough Curves in that belly. And I was just like,
God damn. Thanks for reinforcing exactly what she just said.
I was just like, damn, that was because at the time, and even now, I have no problem with making jokes about my.
Yeah.
I feel self-conscious about it. I encourage the jokes. I'm the one who always talks about me being the fat guy in things.
Yeah.
I deal with it with humor. It's something that I know is my choice. I staying this size is still my choice. I can make a difference, and I have to an extent, but you know, it's something I don't let necessarily get me down in situations.
Yeah.
And I love the faux outrage with it when somebody says something. You're saying that because I'm fat, aren't you? You don't want me to do this because I'm fat. And then people get all like, no, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be that way. And I'll start, I know you're not trying to be that way. I'm just being funny. Because it really doesn't bother me that much. I thought it was hilarious. He just slapped it out there. So I can poke fun at myself. I love doing that. So yeah, that was definitely faux outrage because I was on my way to your work, and I was, that was the entire plan, was being on my way there to do some shopping. And I was wanting to have that faux confrontation of like, what, man, what's the problem? But yes. And it was a cover of a Beatles album for anybody that wants to know.
Yeah. That was the first one. The first one was a Beatles album. And then you sent me pictures of Crocs a few days ago, and I sent you a picture of Dave Mustaine.
which backfired on you because it's actually a really good picture. He looks pretty good.
Oh, it's a good picture of him, yeah. No, that guy rocks a beard real well. Like he does old metal Santa Claus pretty well. Let's be real.
He looks a lot better than he ever did before. He should cover more of his face. Also cover his mouth so we don't have to listen to his vocals.
But oh, anyway, God.
Whole different story. Oh, it's me again. But anyway, back to the point, which was my wife was out shopping and found a new soda, a new Pepsi soda that I didn't see anything advertisement.
Really?
She found this, and it was just sitting. It was sitting where somebody had discarded it. A 12 pack. She didn't find it in the aisle. Somebody had wanted to get it and then decided against it. And it was just sitting like on an end cap somewhere where it didn't belong.
So not with other of it. Box of throwaway Pepsi?
In a sense, yes. And it was Pepsi. But here's the key. Pepsi knows what it's doing with these flavors. It knows what it's trying to bring out. It's trying to bring out that nostalgia of the soda shop. So much so that the flavors they're releasing right now are soda shop flavors.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yes, sir. And the one that she found for me the other day was a black cherry flavored. Pepsi black cherry flavored. And
oh,
I thought it was going to be Pepsi mixed with black cherry. Oh, no, sir. It is a black cherry soda. Rich, creamy.
Whoa. Black cherry
soda made by Pepsi. As a soda shop flavor.
So it's not like Sauce? Pepsi. Is it called Pepsi Black Cherry?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
And it
Dude, the only black cherry soda I knew of was like the Winco Shasta brand.
Exactly. Store brand black cherry soda.
Yeah.
Or Stewart's. If you're familiar with Stewart's.
I'm not familiar with Stewart's, no.
Four bottles that they make. It's kind of a specialty soda.
Oh, okay. Black, oh, yeah. Those boutique sodas.
Exactly. That's where you find a black cherry soda. You don't find a black cherry soda in the main brands. No, sir. This is a black cherry soda.
Wow.
And it is fantastic.
Okay.
Now, when she got me that, I hadn't thought about that as a podcast topic, the soda flavors. It was one flavor. It hadn't crossed my mind that we should make a podcast out of one flavor that Pepsi did. Because I didn't talk about the mango when they came out with the mango.
Right.
But But
mm-hmm.
after I had seen you the other night, we did some more shopping. We came across another flavor. And it turns out the Pepsi has only released and made two flavors for their soda shop line.
Oh, shit.
Two flavors. We found the other one.
Oh, really? What's the other one?
Just by happenstance, by luck, we found it. And it was in that moment that we found it. I had the inspiration. This was going to be one of our podcasts. We are going to talk about these two new flavors because talking about flavors is what we do. We talked about Frito-Lay's flavors. Pepsi is its partner company. We need to talk about these new Pepsi flavors and the fact that they're building on this nostalgia of the soda shop. And oh boy, did they build on the soda shop nostalgia with this one. Because guess what this is? Take a guess, sir.
Orange?
No. Soda shop, sir.
I have no idea. I don't know the difference between what would be considered a soda shop soda and like other types of sodas.
Well, I already mentioned.
I mean, there's Italian soda, but like, you know.
I mentioned it throughout here as it being the soda flavor that a lot of the older because it reminds them so much of the soda shop flavors. It is a Pepsi cream soda. That's right.
Really?
Pepsi cream soda.
Wow.
And we got it. And I immediately opened up the 12 pack and had a can of it. And it's amazing.
Oh, really? All right. All right.
I even let my wife have some of it. Cream soda fanatic. The only person I have left to try to get one to is my dad, and he's too far away for me to take him one. Because I would love, I'm going to tell him about it so that he can go find it himself.
Yeah.
Because it is one of the better cream sodas I've ever had. It is fantastic.
Oh, really?
Amazing. Again, these are all full sugar sodas. These are not the no sugars. I'm limiting myself to one or two a week just so that I don't overdo my sugar stuff. But still,
fair.
They are absolutely amazing. Pepsi Black Cherry, Pepsi Cream Soda, bringing back the nostalgia of the soda shop for generations that have never experienced it and for the generations that are still hanging around and you know, shuffling off their coil when we need them to and sucking our Social Security dry. anyway, this is an amazing trip back into nostalgia, getting the flavors right. Again, this company together, Pepsi and Frito-Lay, their combination together of taking flavors that we know and love in other situations and putting them into their products and making it that much better. I mean, these guys are hitting it out of the park with the flavors and giving us the kind of, I'm thinking all the things that we want to be able to take home with us as opposed to have to go to a destination to get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fantastic, because you can't go to a soda shop anymore, but now you can bring the soda shop home to you with these flavors.
You hear that, Pepsi? You're doing God's work.
Okay.
I did that just to break that up.
I know. but seriously, Pepsi, we love your stuff. Pepsi money, our way. Frito-Lay, we love your stuff. It's from the same company.
You don't just say you like something and ask for money.
Yes, we do. That's how it works.
Oh, is that how it works? Okay.
I mean, I guess. It's either that or put out a sex tape and nobody wants to see that.
What the hell? This went south.
Isn't that how you get famous online, is put out a sex tape? Nobody wants to see that.
That may have been how you got famous online 20 years ago, but not now. I don't think that's a thing that just happens now.
Now we just have to record ourselves opening packaging of stuff. That's what I should have
done. Yes, exactly.
I should have recorded myself.
You should have been doing taste tests, man. Yeah. That's what you should be doing, man. You should start a YouTube channel that's just food review. Soda review.
We could. The no avocado zone. Of course,
just research something deeply and see if there's anything even related to avocado in it and automatically give it a failing grade without even tasting it.
Yes.
Yes.
This is from Mexico. Avocados are from Mexico.
Oh, dude, if you're skipping out on Mexican food, you're making a fucking mistake.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. I just got to order it with no guacamole on it. That's all. I remember going to, I went to a restaurant with my older brother, and
I could see you doing an entire.
I went to a restaurant with my older brother, and he was a little worried to take me because of how picky I used to be when I was a kid. I'd go to McDonald's and order a hamburger with nothing on it. No pickles, no mustard, no ketchup, nothing, because I was that picky as a little kid.
Yeah.
So he hadn't been to a restaurant with me in years, so he's worried, like, what are we going to do? I said he could pick the restaurant. We go to Mexican food. He's like, how's this going to end up? And I ask about this giant burrito that they have, and I'm like, what's all in it? And he lists me all the stuff that's in it, and I could see my brother's face like, oh, God, what's he going to ask to be off of it? And I'm like, can I get it without the guacamole on there? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm like, okay, that's all I need off. And my brother looks at me like, how, what? Because he expected me to take all, like, a bunch of other stuff off it.
Can I have it with no onions and no guac and no red sauce, please? The red sauce, you can just take that, put it on the side, like, being, like, super picky. Yeah.
And he just looks at me like, what? No. And I'm like, yeah, I just don't like avocado, man. The rest of it's all good. Like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, I've grown up a little bit, but never avocado. That crap's nasty.
I can avocado, see you,
avocado belongs one place. In the trash.
I could see you just doing an entire food review channel, or just a food review channel, and it's how to make X thing better, you know, how to make this burger better, or how to make this burrito better, or something like that. And all you do is you take it and you open it up and you remove the guacamole or avocado from it, close it back up, and be like, we're done. And that's it. Just, dude, that is a TikTok channel waiting to happen.
Yes. It's reminding me of the dude I like to watch on those channels, the guy who when people do really difficult things, he shows them like the real way to do it, like the normal way to do it, and just has his hands out like, what the hell, you people are stupid. I don't know the dude's name, but he's hilarious. Anyway,
yeah, all it would be is just like, find something with food, or like how to improve this burger or whatever, and you open it up and it's got avocado in it, you just take the whole burger and throw it straight in the trash.
Avocado toast. I have a toast in one hand, the avocado in the other, just toss the avocado in the trash.
You know what would be really funny is you take, no, what you do is you prepare the whole thing from scratch. So you create the toast. So you make the toast, and then you have the avocado. You take the avocado, you cut it open, you open it up, you spread it out. Hear me out. You take it, you spread it, and you prepare the entire thing, and then you just take it and throw the whole fucking thing in the trash. Just because it's been tainted now. Throw the knife in the trash that you used. Remove the table you prepared everything on. Like,
I can't do that, though. I can't. I
demolish it, set it on fire.
It would be funny for anybody watching, because I'd be like half gagging the entire time. I'm working with this avocado, and if it got on my finger, I would freak out. I'd be like, nah, flipping my hand around.
You'd just be like,
seriously, it would be. No, I'm not even joking. That's exactly what happens whenever I've had to deal with avocado. If it gets on anything that I'm dealing with, it's God. Like, I turn into like a 3-year-old with you know, dirt on my finger, and I'm nuts. I go crazy. It's scary. So yes, it would be funny for everybody else. It would be like haunting for me. I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, I am not spreading avocado on it. I can just see it being like, you got somebody off camera. Okay, you have to cut the avocado open. No. You have to cut it open and spread it on the toast. No. I'm not doing that. But that's the whole thing, James. You have to do. No.
Take an avocado, it's on a table, and then just pull out a blowtorch and set the whole fucking thing on fire without touching it.
No, because then it would smell nasty, and I don't want to smell it. Avocado.
God, this so then what thing. You do is you put on a gas mask and then do it.
Put on a gas mask and like rubber gloves.
Yeah.
And make it that way. And even then, it still would make me gag, because just looking at avocado is gross. Funny note, I was actually, again, part of my sense of humor, when I was looking at Halloween costumes for my kids, for at least one kid specifically, they have Halloween costumes that are couples costumes, where it's a piece of toast. It's one of those, you know, big polystyrene ones where it's like a piece of toast and an avocado. And then they have just the avocado by itself. I'm like, I pointed it out to my wife. I'm like, you know, it'd be really, really funny if I bought an avocado costume and dressed as an avocado. Because like at Halloween, don't you aren't you dressed of things like you're scared of whatever you dress as that right? If I took pictures dressed as an avocado for Halloween, that would be freaking hilarious.
You need to do that.
She's like, seriously? Like, yeah, that would be really, really funny. So I do have a sense of humor about these things.
That's fantastic.
Anyway, Mike.
Oh man.
Where can people listen to me talk up the beauty of Pepsi's flavors and then shit on
avocados?
Shit on avocados at the same time. Where can people be listening to us?
Well, you could be listening to us at thezennialchronicles.com or zencron.com. If you don't want to type that much, you can also check us out on most podcast platforms. We are on Google. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. So check us out there. If you can't find us, just search us. You should be able to find us. You can check us out on our YouTube page as well. Our podcasts are converted to video files and put on YouTube. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, and from what I learned last episode, that's where James listens to us, which is really cool. Yes. Yeah. If you're doing that right now, if you're listening to this video on YouTube, please make sure you smash that like button to feed the algorithm and let other people that listen to podcasts know who we are. And on top of that, while you're there, there is a little button next to the like button called the subscribe button. If you have not already subscribed to the channel, please do so. That helps us out as well. We're trying to reach our first 100 subs, so that'd be fantastic. And there's also one other thing that needs. Oh.
I do want to say we are at a magical number of subs right now on YouTube, unless that's changed in the last 24 hours since I checked again.
Oh, really?
We are at a magical number that I am very proud to be at, but I don't mind if we increase.
Oh, okay.
We're at 37.
Oh, nice.
In a row. Again, hopefully, if you're listening to this, hopefully you get that reference.
Yes.
Don't watch more movies.
Yes, please. So,
sorry. You were saying that there's something else that needs to be done.
There's something else that needs to be done. And I lost my train of thought. I was on a roll. You completely just derailed the whole thing. And now I can't remember where I was in the conversation.
I know what it is. I know.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. What is it?
Trash the avocado.
Yes. Trash the avocado to make sure that. No. Please continue. What was that?
Trash the avocado to make sure that you don't eat something nasty. But while you're on YouTube, click the bell, everybody.
Yes. Make sure you click the bell. That way, when we put out a new video on YouTube, you get notified. And sometimes we don't have podcasts we can put out. Sometimes we got to, take a break from it or something like that. We will put out a video letting you know exactly what's going on. And that doesn't necessarily hit the podcast page. Also, our entire archive of all of our videos is available on YouTube. So you can check out every single podcast we've done. We've been doing it for a couple of years. So all of the time to sit and listen to us complain about God knows what. Or sometimes we even do educational stuff. It's actually kind of cool.
Complain about avocados.
Apparently, yeah. Setting them on fire. If you can even touch them with fire, because sometimes even the fire gets contaminated, according to James.
Everything gets contaminated. I'm just stating this right now. We are never going to get any of the avocado money. unless again, they like the idea of me trashing the avocado so that other people can buy it. I don't know.
Oh my God, dude. I swear I would push for, like, if there was a company that we could push for an avocado endorsement specifically, I would do that just to make you run an ad about liking avocados.
I would not. I can lie about a lot of things, but I would not about that. No, that's that hatred is to the core of my being hatred. I do fear one day, because here's the thing. I will admit and acknowledge people's taste buds change. People's flavors for things change. I used to never drink cream soda, and now I'm excited about Pepsi's cream soda because it's amazing. I used to hate cream soda. There's a bunch of different things that I used to never eat that I do eat now. And I am worried. I am afraid. I am terrified that one day I will have the love of avocado. I will love the taste of it.
We're going to have to document that when that happens.
And when it happens, when it does happen, I will admit it, and I will not be too much full of pride to say that I love it. I mean, hell, I thought like you, sir, that Crocs were one of the stupidest fashion accessories ever in existence, and yet once I put them on my feet, I was happy. And so these things happen in the world. That's why I'm not buying you a pair of Crocs and asking you to wear them. I'm going to wait on that until like my funeral or whatever, and then require everybody at the funeral to wear Crocs.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
this dude do that just means you have to die before me. We can arrange that. But anyway, I will be willing to change my mind, but I do want to say the wheels in my head are turning because I have some good ideas. Anyway,
oh God, that sounds terrible.
While you're checking us out on YouTube with what we have currently for the Zenial Chronicles, plus any new content that James might be thinking of right now to make more funny stuff, please check out Mike's other pages. That is his Chronozode Games page, where he plays video games with his wife in chronological order. That sounds dirty, but it's not. The playing video games with your wife, there's maybe some dirtiness to that. There's also Mike's
Of the better episodes, I guess.
Yeah. there's also Mike's music page, Ruling Note Music, where he talks about all things music, gear, musical stories, recording tips, how much he's a fan of I don't know, I was gonna say something funny and it just escaped me. Crappy music like Pantera. Anyway, please check those out. Like those, subscribe to those as well, just so that we can all have more people watching us and more content for you to fill your days with while you're kicking your avocado addiction. Anyway, thank you all for listening this week, and we'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.